Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Fade to Gray. Man, I'm very excited to bring you today's episode. Me and Elizabeth, we have the founding members of Gleewood with us, Callie and Jet. I had the privilege of meeting them first at a show in middle of nowhere, Western Pennsylvania, with very low expectations, and they blew me away. Met them after the show. This conversation was a blast. And this was Elizabeth's friend from when she was in youth group.
Well, YWAM, actually. I was out in New Mexico, the state of New Mexico, touring around with a group of musicians. And we stopped at Callie's church, and she was in youth group at the time. And I got to work with her and their youth group to develop their music ministry. And just stayed in touch with her over the years. And when I saw she was going to be in the middle of nowhere, Western Pennsylvania, I said, Omar, we got to go. She's amazing. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited to introduce you guys to them. You'll even get to hear a sampling of their song. So be sure to listen to the very end of the episode.
So we're super excited to bring this episode to you guys. So why don't you turn the lights down low, light that Yuletide log, pour you a glass of nice, strong, alcoholic eggnog. Mm-hmm. Light that medicated blunt, or eat that medicated cookie, and enjoy your evening. Morning, evening, morning, whatever. Enjoy your morning.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Beer.
You guys look like a Pinterest post just in a video. It's amazing.
That's awful.
No, but like a really cool Pinterest post.
Couple goals, hashtag.
Gross. Gross.
I love that you said gross, because most people our age, I don't know how old you are, I'm 30, but they'd be like, oh my gosh, thank you so much.
I'm like 27.
The whole upspeak thing, they'd be like, oh my gosh, thank you. That is like totally my intentions. Thank you.
We've been
Follow me.
So
Subscribe.
Hard at this.
Now, did you kill that deer right behind you that's on your wall there?
I think my mother-in-law did, actually.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
She's a badass.
I know, yeah.
She's super badass.
Yeah, it's like a trophy buck, and then I painted it gold, so... Oops.
Oh, it's painted gold. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Can you guys say your last name? Because we're bad at reading.
Oh, I don't even know if we really need to mess with the last name thing unless you guys just really want to.
Yeah.
Our
so
last
you can't
name.
Say your last name either.
Well, it's Schiavone or Schiavone or Schiavone.
Or Shav.
Or Shav.
Everybody in the family says it differently. Like, I say Schiavone. Jet says Schiavone. His grandmother said Schiavone.
Anything to do with our projects or anything, it's Callie Sue and
nice.
And Jet.
Yeah. That's just easy.
Now, is that a Sicilian last name? Sounds Sicilian.
It is.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, nice work. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why I love guessing that kind of stuff and people's I know with 2018, you're not supposed to guess people's nationalities. It's not politically correct, but it's fun because sometimes you can just tell.
Do that. I just ask people what bloodline they are.
Yeah. Are you worthy or not?
Yeah, that's a good question.
So what's your family lineage? What's your bloodline?
What's that?
Well, the only name that matters, I guess, at this point, though, is Gleewood, right? Because that's what we're
right, yeah. That's the big one.
Yeah.
And how long has Gleewood been around?
Let's see. 5 years.
5 years.
Yeah, full time.
How did that get started?
Well, Jeff?
Okay, so I picked up guitar a little bit later in life than a lot of musicians do. I started playing guitar when I was 18, and I had no musical background, nobody in my family whatsoever. We all love music, but nobody played. And I, when I turned 18, I had been working. I grew up homeschooled, and so naturally, I grew up working a lot while my friends were in school. I was working part-time jobs and stuff, so I was kind of saving up to move out of my town. I had the option to go into university, but I wasn't about to do that. as soon as I graduated, I was like, man, I'm done with education.
What was your musical influences, Jet? You said you started playing at 18. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but before you go too far into your story, I'm just curious. That's pretty late in life to be like, I mean, you just got done touring Europe basically with your band that you've had for 5 years, but you didn't start even playing guitar until you were 18. So tell us a little bit more about that. I mean, like, so is it something that came fairly naturally? And what were you like, you teaching yourself? You had a teacher? What were your influences? Just camp out there for a minute.
So, yeah, I did. I had a guitar teacher that was teaching me some of the basic stuff. But really what happened is I spent all my money that I had saved up on a nice guitar and a one-way ticket to Hawaii, thinking that that was going to be a good idea.
Well, it
was
because one of your biggest influences.
One of my biggest influences musically was there, which is Jack Johnson. And then like the Southern California stuff like G-Love and Special Sauce and Pepper and all those types of music that I was really into.
That's why I love you.
In my teenage years. Yeah, I was really into that stuff. And so I started out learning like reggae and basically Jack Johnson records, man. I mean, it's really how I learned how to play. I learned like all of his records that were out at the time, front to back. And that's really what taught me how to play guitar.
And then now, are you playing on the street, like Jack Johnson covers to make money to what in between shows? Like, hey, you know what? Let's get a meal tonight. Let's play some Jack Johnson songs on the street. Let's see how much we can make.
We totally should. We totally should. We actually don't do that. We do play on this. We did play on the street a lot in Europe, but mostly we still, even on the street, we almost always just play our original stuff. And that's really the thing that.
Well, that's kind of a strange thing too with both of us is like we didn't. I mean, yeah, Jet knew Jack Johnson songs and a few covers here and there, but really when we started playing music together, especially, we were just so focused and adamant about writing our own music because we were both creative people, and like that's was more our speed, I guess. We were just passionate about writing our own music, and so even now, even today, like we know so few covers compared to so many other musicians who start playing. Like we'll get on stage with people for a jam and like, oh, you know this song, you know Wagon Wheel, you know whatever, some classic song, and we're like, oh, we'll figure it out, because we just didn't even consider playing other people's music on stage. It was weird.
Yeah, it's. I've got to be really invested in a song in order to perform it. I've got to really feel like I've got something, like either a unique take on it that means something else other than the original intent of the song, or emotionally, it was really imperative for me to sing that at the time in order for us to work it up and perform it live. Because other than that, we just play original stuff. You know, it feels more honest.
Yeah, Banana Pancakes by Jack Johnson is not a very emotional song.
But it's a great one.
It is a great one.
But when you covered Cash, that was amazing. I saw you guys live. I mean, your guys' original stuff was amazing. But when you covered Cash, that was one of the first things I was told Elizabeth. I was like, man, this dude's voice is reminiscent of like basically Johnny Cash. And then you guys play a song, I'm like, this is better. Like, cause there was like so much cause like you said, I could feel like the emotion behind your words. And so like that's you know, like that's what brings you into it. I mean, like the voice is there, but the emotion behind the voice is the next level shit that you guys got. So,
So wow, I would like to ask how did you guys meet exactly, or how long ago maybe?
Oh, well, actually, our 6-year anniversary of being married is on Tuesday.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. But we've been together for 9, a long time. Pretty much right after Jet started playing guitar, I met him. And I come from a very different background, cowboys and ranchers and, you know, horses and cattle and dirt and grime. But I was also homeschooled. And so I had a love and passion for books and travel and seeing the world. And then my family's really traveled a lot. And so I went into all the bookstores that opened into our little town, Ruidoso, as much as possible. And there wasn't very many. There was like 2. And one of them I used to frequent a lot. It's called Atticus Books and Tea House. And that's where I met Jet, actually.
Yeah, I saw her tall top cowboy boots in the classic section. And said, "Damn, girl,
it's the boots, not the jeans."
Didn't say that. Luckily, otherwise,
I didn't say that. But I said it in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't look like a damn girl type of guy, Jet.
Yeah, we met in the bookstore, and just started talking, and then we started going out in cowboy boots and Converse, just kind of exploring each other's totally different worlds, you know. He skateboarded and snowboarded, and I rode horses and did rodeo. And it was just completely different. And that really kind of brought us together, though, through music, because we both loved music so much and all kinds of influences. And I come from a music background of lots of storytelling, lots of ballads, lots of melody. It just kind of
happened. I don't know. It was the Lord, man. Yeah, it was definitely...
I don't think either of us were planning on being.
No, it was divinely
musicians.
Inspired, and we're very grateful.
So there's
grateful.
A faith aspect to your band as well. So you guys are a worship band, then and you play in churches only. Is that the way? I mean, that's the only way to be a Christian band, though, right?
Yeah,
right, right.
That's the tale, right? Yeah. Oh no, I mean.
So we don't. When somebody asks us if we're a Christian band, we say, you know, no. No. We say, no, we're not a Christian band. We are Christians that are in the music industry and play music, but we are not a Christian band. I've prayed about it a lot, about trying to get motivated to write and be a part of the church scene and you know, write worship music. But so far in my musical journey, I don't feel passionate about that. I feel passionate about I feel passionate about the Psalms. I feel passionate about the ups and downs, the good, the bad, and the blues is what we call it. You know, when you read, you know, King David's and King Solomon's laments and their torment and the struggles, and also the intense victories that they have. I mean, that's the kind of stuff I like to write about. I like to write about, you know, I'm not afraid to write about murder. I'm not afraid to write about sex. I'm not afraid to write about, you know, political issues,
desperation,
drugs, all of it. It's a part of our life. And God is says that all things are permissible, but not all things are acceptable. And dealing with those issues is really what I like to do with music. And a lot of times we're in, you know, dive bars and grimy places. Most of the time we're in places that really have a dark spirit about them. And, you know, being able to overcome that and, you know, just bring a little sprinkle. I always like to think of it as a dark canvas with just a splash of light in the corner. And maybe that splash of light will get somebody interested enough to have a conversation with us after the show and say, "Hey, what was that lyric line about?" Rather than, you know,
or how are you guys still married and playing music together? And
yeah, how do you do that? You know,
that's
kind of what that's kind of the approach that we've had.
Yeah, and we've gotten
lost
plenty of times too.
Yeah,
Like gotten lost. Have. You mean just like as you're traveling around the world, gotten lost, you mean? Or?
Well, that too. There's a lot of turning
or
around.
Or just your faith journey, you mean?
Faith journey too. Marriage journey, all of it just gets really tested. You know, we've aligned ourselves with other musicians who are not believers or who are not sensitive to a higher being or spirituality. And their dark spirit has really dried us out. We've dealt with a lot of people in the music industry, at all industries. There's a lot of drug abuse, of course, and a lot of alcoholism and a lot of mistrust and unfaithfulness and in relationships. And we're surrounded by that constantly. Yeah. And for us, we like being able to talk to those people about it if they ask, but it can also really drain us. So we've really tried to move out of the bars as much as possible, because even though light is needed there, some bars just don't want it. Yeah. And it'll just suck you in like a black hole.
That's,
if you're not
that's
careful.
Been a hard lesson for us to learn. Yeah. We we're struggling with it right now is we're on a little bit of a hiatus after 7 months of nonstop touring. 5 years, really. I mean, 260 days a year on the road for the past 5 years.
Wow.
And we're tired, man. We're at our the end of our rope spiritually, mentally, physically, and
creatively. Sometimes.
Creatively. yeah. And we are having to really reevaluate things right now. So, yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on and talking to us about this journey. This is crazy. I like that. The good, the bad, and the blues, man. It sounds like it should be like a John Wayne movie almost. You know, like, I almost see the different characters in that.
One thing I was wondering real quick is, I know you said you guys play a lot of dive bars, and then also you mentioned a faith component. So if your parents are people of faith, are they kind of disappointed that you don't play the whole church thing, or do they support what you're doing and say... That's awesome. They love it.
We are one of a million probably that have both of our parents, our in-laws, support us 100%. I don't know how that happened or what we did to deserve that, because I know that hardly anyone can say that. My parents are worship leaders. And, you know, we do help them lead worship every now and then. Like, we'll play with them. And they are super supportive. And then my dad will come and play in the dive bars with me, you know, and he's a worship leader at a church, but he knows, he understands what we're doing. And they're just very
supportive. He's gotten a lot of flack from that.
He has, actually.
In the church, actually.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, I heard you were playing at such and such, you know, with your daughter's band or whatever. And he's like, I was.
There is a strange fine line with being Christians and playing music in the clubs and the different areas. And, you know, we aren't really plugged into a Christian community, you know, full throttle, because we're traveling so much. But we'll go to different communities, we'll participate and, you know, worship. We love to worship the Lord and go to church and learn and study as we go along the road. And there is lots of, you know, people really kind of doubt our sincerity either way, of like, what are you doing? What's going on? And we do think of it as a ministry in a way, but we are also huge believers in, it's not what you say, but it's what you do that makes a difference. And how you react to things out in the world that are thrown at you is really what people are looking at. And, you know, we really try. We don't do that great all the time. But, you know, something bad will happen. The van will break down, a bad show, whatever it is. And we really try to give that to the Lord right away. You know, pray, meditate. Like Jet was saying, we like to take breaks every now and then and really try to recenter. So that people can see that, yeah, there's a lot of crap that happens or good things that happen. But this is our rock. I mean, we would not be anywhere on this journey with this music or have any kind of fans if it weren't for Jesus. He's our rock. Like, we can't take another step without him. So it's interesting. It's different. And we haven't found any other Christian musicians that feel quite the same as we do, or quite as confident in going out into the world and living that way. So we mostly work with unbelievers or whatever, you know.
Yeah, that's my question. That's what I was curious about with it being Leawood, because I love your answer to that, by the way. Like, I love the fact that it's like, I think we need more Christian musicians who are musicians first, and, you know, like, type of, I mean, as far as, I mean, like, you're always going to be a Christian, but it's like, you don't have to follow the same formula, you know, and have to put Jesus in every lyric of your song in order to, like,
right,
you know, maintain some sort of, like, quote unquote integrity, because it takes away from the integrity of the music is when you do that, or the authenticness of what you're trying to say. Authenticity is what I'm trying to say, I guess. So I just commend you guys for doing that. Like I said, that you guys are amazing musicians. I mean, there's definitely something special, if you want to call it anointing, you want to call it just like talent or something about, you know, the combination of the two of you. But I was curious about your band. You said, so you guys have been doing this, touring on the road for the last 5 years. When you go on the road, is it normally just the two of you, a full band? Are you using the same musicians that you kind of started with at the beginning? Like, how did, like, right now, do you have a band? Like,
we have real Spinal Tap syndrome, man. We've been through 11 drummers, and multiple other instrumentalists. We've had a real struggle, with finding people to get on the same page with us.
It often comes down to beliefs and how you're going to handle a situation. And we've worked
with... It pretty much always does.
It always does, actually.
It always does. It always comes down to a really tense scenario, mm-hmm, that requires, for Callie and I, some spiritual interpretation. You know what I mean? And as soon as that is really brought to the foreground, I mean, immediate chasms start developing between the relationship of us and the band members. And then the other thing is, you know, we've tried to play with other Christians, and one, they don't really jive with our style, because, you know, our stuff can be really dark and borderline psychedelic, and have these, they don't want to, you know, be associated with that, which I understand. If,
yeah,
you feel,
sure,
convicted about that, I get
it's
it.
Almost like drug culture. Like, you attract a lot of people who are like,
we
maybe
attract
like
a lot of the drug
smoke
culture
weed or something like that. Yeah.
And so the only thing that encourages me is we've actually had one of our drummers, unfortunately, a lot of our drummers have dealt with addiction, and one of them, while we were on tour, passed away.
Oh shoot, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, while we were on tour, he was not on tour with us.
Oh.
But then another gentleman that had the same addiction was on tour with us in the Pacific Northwest when he came to the realization that he did have a problem and he needed to face it. And so when we took him back at the end of the tour, you know, he asked for help, and he enrolled himself in a rehab program, and he's been sober for 3 years now, and he's playing a show with us on New Year's.
Yeah,
so
like
we
awesome.
Do get to see those victories, you know.
Yeah.
Awesome. Where at on New Year's?
It'll be here in Ruidoso, New Mexico.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of stuff scheduled? You know, you said you're taking a break. Is that the next thing you have going on is New Year's? Do you have some other things coming up?
We have a little house concert coming up this Saturday. We do a lot of house concerts in Europe and here in the U.S. We really love that. That's some of our favorite. We usually do that. It's just the two of us. It's just the duo. And then the New Year's show. And then we have a few things kind of spread out through January, February, March. But really, the next big tour is in April. Back to Europe for about 4 weeks.
Nice. Are you coming to the East Coast at all? Are you have anything going on out our way?
We are actually.
We're working on that.
We're working on that. We're trying to position ourselves over there, closer to you guys and closer to the East Coast, because that last tour we did through that area was awesome, and we've been trying to get back. It's just a long ways for us.
It's almost easier for us to tour Europe. Europe than it is to get to the damn East Coast.
I know. It's a weird thing.
It's because of all the road miles. And then there's like these.
Well, there's a lot of musicians and a lot of venues.
There's a lot of musicians, a lot of good bands.
And honestly, in Europe right now, our style of music, blues, folk rock, blues rock, Americana.
It's super hip over there.
Really huge in Europe right now. And then, you know, we're slightly exotic. Coming from the Southwest, and so it's easier for us to book shows in Europe than it is in the U.S., even out here in the Southwest, because there's so much great music here. I mean, it's just, and that style is just spilling out of everyone, that it does make booking difficult.
But but to answer your question, we are positioning ourselves to where next summer we will be hopefully touring on the East Coast really heavily.
Awesome. Nice. Well, we'll definitely love to host you, whether or not we're here or down south in the North Carolina area. Either way, it'll probably be on the East Coast for a little while. You should. I was actually thinking like how much fun it would be if there's a group of us going to Dallas, Texas in February. And we have this house that we're all staying at, Airbnb. And I guess right outside of the house, the owner was telling me there's like a brand new bar. And we're going to kind of like just like take it over. I'm not sure if I'm going to rent it out or what for the night. And I'd be like, it'd be pretty dope if you guys would like be there playing for that and hanging out with a group.
That would be dope.
That would be. Yeah. Keep us informed. I mean, Dallas is just a hop, skip, and a jump for us.
That's what I was thinking. We'll be pretty close to you guys. So it's like the weekend right after Valentine's Day. So February 15th.
16th, 17th.
Yeah. I think we have that open. I mean, I'm pretty sure we do.
And Deep Ellum. And so if you want to look at...
If
you wanted to book anywhere in Deep Ellum, if you have a place that you like to go, I mean, I would definitely come see you guys and bring a crowd and stuff like that. So there's a conference going on down there.
What's the conference?
Bad Christian.
We were just looking that up, actually.
So you're familiar with that. So that's kind of how we all got started. All of us are kind of like members of Bad Christian at one point, and kind of there was Marco Polo app. We started talking and realizing that, like, you know, we don't really all agree on a whole lot, but we have some really good deep conversations, and thought that taking that type of conversation format to a podcast where people see like a round table type discussion talking about like some pretty like polarizing topics without it having to be like all emotional and, you know, my opinion's better than yours sort of thing. And that's kind of how we got started out of Bad Christian. So
nice. Yeah. But we're not in a dirty rock band to play for that. There you go. That'll spark some conversation.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. You guys would be perfect at Bad Christian, actually. I think so.
Agreed.
So I'm a musician, or I guess I'm now referring to myself as a retired musician, but it's been 10 years since I have even played a show. One thing I'm wondering for you guys, especially as, you know, just a two-piece, in the 5 years that you've been touring, what's changed? Have you noticed that you make more money in merch now, or you don't make more, or do you not get people showing up to shows in the U.S. because, like you said, it's saturated? What's changed in those 5 years for touring?
Okay, so...
Well, that's a lot of answers there.
That's
a lot.
Okay, so like I said, I just have to... You know, a lot of people don't understand this, but, you know, because I don't really hardly understand it. But when we first started, we were so naive and so green. And we started as a folk band because we really couldn't pull off anything else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we had no idea what we were doing. Callie wanted to play bass, right? But she didn't play bass, so, because she didn't want to be the girl that sat there and sang with a tambourine in her hand. So we literally left the bass unplugged for the first few gigs.
While she was learning. Yeah.
I mean, like, I knew so little about EQ and sound that when I bought a reverb pedal for my acoustic guitar, I thought that was going to change the game. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
We're going to get so many Spotify plays.
Rudimentary, basic effects pedal, you know, I thought was going to like change everything. You know what I mean?
We didn't know how to EQ our vocals, right? Because his voice is so low. Mine is, you know, much higher. And, you know,
we
had no idea, and we were kind of just scrambling. And the Lord brought some really amazing people into our lives who weren't actually like touring musicians or really currently playing music, but had a lot of experience or had it in their past. And here in New Mexico, there is a music scene, but when we first started, we didn't know about it. And it's really small, and it's mostly just country music and Tejano.
And covers.
And covers.
And so we really had no one to look up to for quite some time. And so to answer your question bluntly, I mean, what's changed about, you know, what we've done in the past 5 years is simply everything.
Everything has changed.
Everything. Yeah. You know, I mean, going from blushing so hard that you can't even see playing in front of five people to walking confidently out on a festival stage. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
everything that we've learned over the past 5 years has been in front of people and on stage.
Yeah, I did not. I mean, my family's very musical, but I didn't play music. I was interested in other things, and I was just like, well, that's my family's thing. So I started playing the bass and really singing a lot in public when I met Jet and whenever we started the Gleewood Project. And so for me, playing bass and singing and then adding a little bit of harmonica. During this European tour, I had to learn drums because our drummer left us in Ireland. And we had a whole like rock
that
tour scheduled
like
as the trio.
Yeah.
And I picked up the drums. And so, I mean, everything's changed. We've learned how to market ourselves. Exactly. Merchandise is a huge thing.
Merch is huge, man.
We have seen a decline in CD sales, a rise in vinyls. We have seen a decline in people wanting to go to live music versus seeing a really nice YouTube video. Industry's changed a lot since we've been involved, and then just our own personal growth as musicians and as people and as songwriters really changed.
Most people progress from like a heavier rock sound and kind of grow up and start playing more folk and
more
intricate pieces, and we kind of went the other way. We went from like a progressive folk feel to more of a straightforward
because we didn't know about
rock and
time
roll
signatures
band.
Or modes, so we were just writing what we wrote.
Yeah, and
so it's weird.
So yeah, everything's changed, man.
But that's beautiful. So you, like, you don't know a whole lot about music, but you did it. And then you don't know a whole lot about, you know, when you first started touring or you said you were green, but you did it. I think it's so cool that you guys are literally just figuring it out as you go, because some people who have been playing music for, you know, you said you started playing guitar at 18. Well, some people who have been playing music for 18 years never make it to Europe. And
right.
It doesn't matter. Because they're seeking these huge lofty goals. I want to play the biggest festivals and this and that. You guys are like, we want to play music. That's what we want to do. That's all we want to do. And it's a beautiful thing. It's working out.
Thank you. We hope so. You know, we also have a lot of lofty goals, but we know from the way our parents raised us and from our backgrounds of working a lot and whatever else. You got to just start. You got to just do it. You got to just get in there.
10% talent and 90% elbow grease is the way
and
I look at it.
Stubbornness and persistence and patience and endurance.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to be this far in, have a live album and two studio albums under our belt and working on another. And, you know, I never thought it would have been possible. It's definitely the grace of the Lord, you know, and his inspiration.
And we still have a long way to go.
We got a long way. I mean, I'm nowhere even close to where I want to be musically or career-wise. I mean, I'm not even tip of the iceberg, man.
Yeah.
Can I say, that's like encouraging to me, because I know too many musicians that are like, oh, this is as far as I'm going to go. This is what you get. And that being unsatisfied with where you're at is actually a really good thing. For musicians, I think. I mean, probably people in general, but speaking from a musician standpoint, I've found that you guys are going to carry your careers further with that unsatisfied idea, I guess. It pushes you to learn things that you don't know. It pushes you to be better than you are.
And that only brings a better product. It brings better shows. It better everything.
Wow. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
We try. We try to make that happen.
Yeah. Just don't stop.
I know the human ambition is so wild, and it can really, like you said, it is important for creative people to have that, get out of their comfort zone, push themselves. And then what we've been learning on the other side of that, you know, life's all about balance, right? That's what we're all trying to find. And on the other side of ambition is seeing your victories, no matter how small. And yeah. We have had to learn that lesson the hard way, especially this year, because of that ambition, being a little unbridled, and then having to look back and be like, oh wait, like we couldn't even, you know, put three chords together, you know, just a few years ago,
but that unsettled dissatisfaction can definitely get unbalanced, especially with me. Callie can really see our accomplishments and things a lot easier than I can.
Yeah.
It can really send me into a downward spiral, into a deep depression, pretty quickly. If that dissatisfaction, you know, grabs the reins.
Yeah. But when does it grab the reins the most, though? what brings that on the most? Is it, you know, there's only two people here at the show, or what is it about your career that gets you down, I guess?
You know, I've learned to cope with the people thing because, you know, when we first started playing, we were booking wrong kinds of venues and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I saw the value of playing to two people at a time pretty early on. So I've learned how to cope with that, you know, going from a really good show to a bad show. But for me, the financial struggle and being able to provide and being able to have to be able to live without economic stability is really, really what sends me over the edge.
And it's so funny because people think musician and they think, wow, cool, that's a great career. Or, you know, you have this cute little casita or whatever you said in New Mexico. That sounds so cool. And I mentioned the whole, you know, you guys are a Pinterest couple. It looks so funny. But it's wild to me that a lot of people don't see that musicians, if you're not at the top, it's a struggle, dude.
Yeah.
Emotionally and financially, like you're describing.
Yeah.
It's a huge financial crazy crisis sometimes. I mean, you do go through spurts where, yeah, you get to play a really big gig and you got plenty of money and you're like, woohoo. But then your van breaks down. Your speaker blows out. Your guitar needs fixing. Whatever it is, or you're sick or whatever it is. And then it's just life. I mean, everybody goes through these struggles. But it is interesting being on the side of entertainment where you are pretty much forced to put on a certain kind of face. You know, we really like to show our fans what happens on the road, but we also don't like over advertising the fact that it's difficult, because everybody's lives are difficult,
or calling on any kind of pity, because we want to be a source of encouragement to people that are wanting to go out and pursue their passions
and their
dreams, and so we don't want to bog people down
with what happens,
you know.
But at the same time, you know, you really struggle with a lot of things, like
but being on the side of the road and not having enough gas money to get to the next gig, and literally watching your wife scrape change out of a guitar case is a humbling thing, you know.
I bet.
But yeah. to have somebody, like, you know, a partner or wife that is willing to do that with you, and, you know, do it, you know, with joy, and like, that's also something like amazing to have. And you guys' story is like hella encouraging. And like you said, it's about the balance, and everybody goes through struggles. No matter what career path you choose, you're going to end up, you know, with financial struggles and, you know, no matter who you, you know, choose to like spend your life with, you're going to go through like, you know, the whole relational struggle type of thing, because, you know, you're still ultimately dealing with yourself. But I mean, it's so encouraging, yeah, you know, just seeing a couple that has just gone for it, you know, like wholeheartedly just jumped right in, you know, like the one thing that it seems like you guys are lacking is any like fear. And if there's any fear, like at all, it's covered up by courage, you know, like that you guys clearly had more courage than you did talent starting out. But by the time I saw you guys, sure, like a year and a half ago, I'm just going to be like, dead up honest. I was blown away. You know, my Elizabeth was telling me, oh yeah, there's this girl I knew from youth group back in New Mexico, and she has a band, and they're playing at this little nowhere, nothing place in the middle of nowhere, Nothingville. And yeah, and I'm like, all right, seems like something to do for a night.
That's the official name.
Exactly. <yeah. laughs> It is. That's where we live. Like, I think it's actually bumfuck nowhereville. is the official name. But
right.
But I show up and, you know, I see this like, you know, this like very attractive couple in like the southwestern hat gear get up, and I'm just like, what's going on here, you know? And then you guys start singing, and I'm like, oh my god, like, what did I just walk into? Like, where are we? We're not in Greenville anymore. Like, yeah, this is surreal. And like, and Elizabeth knows these people. Like, I mean,
I know cool people too.
She knows rock stars
from church. Like, these people went to church. and so I was blown away. And so, speaking of merch, like, I bought some merch to support you back then, and I love having you guys on now to support you. And I would say I love you guys' art.
Thank you.
Like, I mean, I'm holding up a shirt, yeah, now that I have. It is a nice. It has like a skull and a sunflower, and I think you guys can tell in bleach stains. Yes, it has my own, has added to the art. I still wear it like weekly. Yeah. So
might I say that's a groovy shirt. Shirt.
Thank you.
Nice.
How can people
perfect response.
Nailed it.
How can people find you? Where will they find your merch at? Where will they find your music at? How can they support what you guys are doing so you don't end up on the side of the road someplace, like scraping change out of guitar cases?
Well, first of all, if they do find us on the side of the road, if you see a trailer that says Gleewood broke down somewhere, go ahead and stop, because we probably do need help, but we usually have really good coffee with us.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
you can help us out, but we'll get you a nice cup of coffee. You can find us at gleewoodmusic.com is our website where we kind of base everything out of. We do Facebook. It's just our at Gleewood everywhere. So at Gleewood at Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Facebook.
And that's with two E's. Yeah.
Spotify, iTunes, Deezer.
YouTube.
Really, I like to connect with people on a more intimate level. So we have an email list, and it's kind of like a VIP email list. Anybody who signs up for it, we usually send out like exclusive content and like a story about what's gone on over the past month, kind of a more intimate look than our social media. And you can sign up for that on our webpage. And like this Christmas, we're going to be releasing our first ever Christmas song, but just to people on our email list.
You guys would have a killer YouTube account. I just want to say that, like, if you made vlogs about your travels, it would be amazing.
We do, and we have, and we've worked really hard at it, and we have absolutely zero steam.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, no way, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys are super fun.
We've cataloged our stuff as best we could. We've got like 40 vlog videos or something up.
I've watched most of them, but...
Yeah, yeah.
But we've just had a hard... That's cool. We've had a hard time getting people... I don't know.
You know, there's a strange disconnect. I think... It partially could be because we are like really personable people, perhaps, and we know we need social media and we try to use it to our advantage, but both of us are a little disgusted by it. And so,
do you use Marco Polo at all? Have you ever heard of Marco Polo?
No, I haven't used that.
It's kind of like a video walkie-talkie where it's like a live talking around with people from around the world. in different groups or personal messages. And then they also was like, every message is saved, you know, so it's not like Snapchat where it has to delete or anything so you can go back. Okay. So you're not forced into a conversation like right at that moment. It's kind of like texting in that way where you can get a polo and then respond to it at your leisure and then go back to it and watch it again if you need to.
It's a great way of having like an online community, like because it's face to face, and so like I've gotten to know people really, really well that I probably may never meet, you know, but I have these people I can talk to.
That's cool.
It might work well for you guys, this community as well.
And Fade to Gray has a group as well, and we would love it if you guys came onto that and were a part of it that as well if you want.
100%, absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, man.
I was telling people about it last night, and it was like 1:30 in the morning on the East Coast. And like, I guarantee you, if I go open it right now, there's people in there talking. And sure enough, I go in there, and there's like 3 or 4 people in there having a conversation, and just get on, and they were talking about some pretty deep stuff, you know. And so, and before you knew it, and an hour later, I'm like, oh yeah, wait a minute, I was doing something else before I opened this up. Like, I can put the phone down and walk away if I want to, but it's just so compelling. You end up like really just developing some true personal relationship.
All right, so thank you again to Callie and Jet for coming on and letting us know where they're at and introduce us to Gleewood. Oh, we really appreciate you guys coming on today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Callie and Jet.
Man, thank you for having us.
Yeah, it was an honor. I was fanboying out over here the whole time. So I was really thrilled that you came on and shared your heart, man. It was awesome getting to know you. I can't wait till you come back to the East Coast, and maybe we'll see you in Dallas.
Yeah.
Right on. I hope so, brother.
Yeah.
That's right, guys. Support some honest and amazing musicians. Also, make sure they're not drinking coffee on the side of the road. Go to gleewoodmusic.com to support them.
And
thanks,
sure
guys.
Support Fade to Gray podcast,
huh? Ooh.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
it. You guys can follow Gleewood and Fade to Gray on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Hey, what's your guys' just for my personal knowledge, I want to subscribe to your YouTube channel and watch all of your old vlogs. What is it, just Gleewood Music on YouTube or something?
Yeah, Gleewood Tube.
Gleewood Tube.
Yeah.
Right on. I like it. I'm going to subscribe then.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate
of
that.
Of course. Sure. Yeah. Thanks for coming on and using that all the internet you could muster up out there in the mountains of New Mexico.
Yeah, we're probably taking it from the whole valley.
Oh, well, it's important. You guys are important. Thanks for coming on and sharing your story, you guys. I really appreciate just getting to meet some fellow DIY musicians, man. You guys are awesome.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, man. Likewise, brother.
Praise out.
Praise out.
Yeah. We would like you to give us a prayer to kind of wrap the podcast up.
Okay. So
yeah. It wraps up with your prayer.
A what? Yeah. Okay. All right. Sweet. Lord, we just we thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the moisture coming out down here in New Mexico. And we just thank you for this unique group and we thank you for the technology in order to make this happen. To bring your believers and other folks from around the world to be able to connect and communicate, oh Lord. And we just pray for grace over Fade to Gray and all of their individual projects, their personal projects, but also that they can be an inspiration to the next generation of thinkers inside and outside the church, an inspiration and also a beacon to where people can get together and talk about politics and talk about religion and talk about taboo issues without raising their voices and letting emotions overwhelm the subject. We just thank you for encouraging them to do this. And we know it's going to be challenging. We know it's going to be hard to keep together, but we pray that it is fruitful and that their creative endeavors are filled, because we know that you give us the desires of our hearts, and we ask that those desires bloom, Lord. And thank you for the opportunity. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen, dude. Amen. Thanks, dude. That was powerful. Awesome. Thank you.
Hey, Callie, can you send greetings and love to your parents and your sister from me?
Oh, I will. Absolutely. They ask about you all the time, thinking that I get to see you a lot. And I'm like, I only got to see her once, but she looks great. She's doing good. So, awesome. Yeah, I definitely will. And they definitely think about you guys and pray for you all the time. And my mom just adores you too. And so
I love that woman.
I know. She's amazing. Definitely.
Well, we're looking forward to more videos on YouTube, or at least I am.
Yeah, totally.
Cool, man.
Sweet. Yeah, thank you.
Certainly.
Thank you, guys. All right, cool. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
All right. Peace, guys. Have a good day.
Christmas. Yeah, see
ya. White snow whispers in the wind. White snow whispers in the wind. White snow, won't you come on in? Won't you come on in and bury my sin? Won't you come on in and bury my sin?
No, sir, I cannot come to you. I cannot bear the things you do. No, sir, I cannot come to you. Are you done with the company you choose? Are you done with the company you choose?
Say goodbye
to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.